We met through Tinder. Her name on the profile was Kara. She looked calm in her pictures. Nothing flashy, no heavy filters or duck faces. Just a couple of selfies, a simple bio, and enough sarcasm in her messages to keep me interested. We talked for 3 nights straight. She had this dry sense of humor that I liked, and the way she responded made me think she wasn't like the others on the app. She didn't flirt too hard, didn't try to impress, and honestly, that worked on me. She asked me to meet up. I didn't even have to bring it up. That surprised me. She picked a neutral spot, some quiet cafe on the east side. I got there 15 minutes early and waited outside, scrolling, pretending I wasn't checking every girl walking by to see if it was her. Then someone stopped in front of me and said my name. It was her, or it was supposed to be her. The girl standing there looked familiar, but wrong, like a blurry version of the photos. Same hair color, maybe, but everything else, face shape, jaws, eyes, off by just enough to feel weird. She looked older, maybe 5 or 6 years more than her profile said. I didn't say anything right away, I just stared. She noticed. She didn't wait for me to speak. She sat down quickly and leaned in like she was about to beg for something.
Look, I know I look different. Please, don't leave yet. I didn't mean to lie, I have a hard time showing my real self. I didn't think anyone would swipe on me otherwise.
Her voice cracked near the end. She wasn't trying to scam me or flirt her way out of it. She looked genuinely scared. Not nervous about rejection. Something deeper. Panic, maybe? The kind you get when you know something's about to go wrong and there's nothing you can do to stop it. I should have just walked away. I should have told her that was a deal breaker, but I didn't. She wasn't unattractive. In fact, under all the panic, she was kind of beautiful in her own way. More real than in the photos. And the way she looked at me, like she expected me to hate her immediately, made it hard to just stand up and go. So I stayed. We ordered coffee. The awkwardness faded slowly. She started making me laugh again, like in the chats. But there was something under her words, like she was watching me closely, too closely. Like every answer I gave her was being studied. We sat for almost an hour. I asked her about work, music, small stuff, nothing deep. She answered like she had rehearsed everything. Too clean, too fast. Then she changed topics right after. But what really got my attention was her phone. It kept lighting up, constantly. Call after call from numbers with no names. She didn't answer a single one. She'd glance at the screen and immediately flip it face down. After the fifth call in 15 minutes, I finally said something. "That work calling you?" She didn't even look at me, just shook her head and said,
"Doesn't matter. I'm off today."
There was a pause, no smile. She grabbed her cup and sipped like nothing happened, but her hands were shaking. I thought maybe it was anxiety, but then I noticed her watching me from the corner of her eye, like she was waiting for me to ask again. So I didn't. I just kept talking. A few minutes later, I asked her where she lived. Nothing personal, just trying to keep the conversation going. She stared at me like I'd crossed a line.
"Why do you need to know that?"
Her voice dropped. Not angry, but low, controlled, like she was trying very hard not to snap. I backed off and said I was just making conversation. She didn't reply, just sat there, breathing through her nose, eyes locked on mine like she was waiting for a reason to lose it. Then, as suddenly as it came, it passed. She smiled, laughed at something I said, but from then on, I knew I was sitting across from someone hiding a lot more than bad pictures. 3 nights later, I was home when she called me. No message, no warning, just a call out of nowhere, I picked up. Hey, I need you to come over. Please. I need help. She sounded wrecked. Her voice was hoarse, slurred like she hadn't slept in days. I asked what was wrong, and she just gave me an address and hung up. I should have known better, but something in her tone pushed me. It didn't sound like manipulation. It sounded desperate. So I grabbed my keys and left. Her house was way out in the suburbs, past the edge of town. It took me 40 minutes to get there. The place looked like it hadn't been lived in for a while. Overgrown grass, cracked windows, no light outside. I knocked, no answer. I knocked again, harder. Then the door creaked open. She stood there, Kara, but not like before. Her eyes were wide, her skin pale. Her makeup was smeared like it had been on for days. Her clothes didn't fit right, and her hair was matted, greasy. She looked like she'd been through hell. The smell hit me next. Thick. Sour. I stepped inside slowly. She didn't say anything, just pointed toward the living room and walked ahead. I followed, unsure why I hadn't left already. Something in my gut screamed at me to turn around, but my legs kept moving. I didn't realize what I was looking at until she turned around under the light. It wasn't Kara. It was a man. The makeup was barely hanging on. The wig was crooked. His face was wider than I remembered. Rough. There was stubble under his jaw. He looked at me and I stepped back instantly. Who the hell are you? He closed the door slowly and locked it with a deadbolt.
My name's Sean. Kara was my girlfriend. You were going to meet her, but you got me instead.
His voice was calm. Too calm, like he had rehearsed this moment 100 times. I could feel my chest tightening. I took another step back, but he raised his hand. He was holding a gun.
Don't move.
I froze.
Heard her phone buzz. Saw the messages. Saw your name. She said it was nothing. Said you didn't matter. But I had to know. So I made the account, put her photos up, wore her clothes, and went out to meet you.
He stepped closer. His hands were shaking now.
It started as a test, to see what she was doing. But then I liked it.
You sat there, thinking I was her. You didn't even notice. That did something to me. He raised the gun, aimed it at my chest.
They're looking for her. Cops are already circling. But you, you're going to give me a way out. You're going to be my witness. You'll say you saw her alive. Right here.
He pulled the trigger. Nothing. Click. The second I heard that click, I moved. I didn't think. I lunged forward and slammed into him. We both hit the floor. The gun slid under the couch. He grabbed my collar and threw me into the table. I crashed hard, wood splinters cutting into my arm. He jumped on me, punched my face twice. I felt something crack in my nose. I reached up, grabbed a chunk of the table leg, and swung it across his temple. He screamed and rolled off. I crawled toward the gun. He kicked me in the ribs, hard. I gasped. I couldn't breathe. He pulled me back by the ankle, but I spun around and clawed at his face. He grabbed my wrist, twisting it, until I heard a pop. Pain shot up my arm. We were both bleeding. I kicked him in the chest and stumbled, scrambling for a weapon. I got one, turned around, and smashed it into his jaw with everything I had. Once, twice, a third time. He wasn't moving anymore. I stood over him, dizzy, coughing, every inch of me aching. I was ready to call the cops, but then I smelled something again. Not the same rot. Worse. Thicker. It came from the hallway. I should have left. But I didn't. The door to the back room wasn't locked. I pushed it open. There were no lights, so I used my phone. The flashlight hit plastic sheets on the floor, dark stains. A mattress soaked in red. Trash bags in the corner, big ones, sealed tight. I went to the closest and ripped it open. Inside there was hair and a scalp. The next one had an arm, cleanly cut. Another had lungs wrapped in rags. I stepped back and nearly threw up. That was Kara, the real Kara. He didn't just kill her. He cut her to pieces, organized them. I called the cops from the porch, shaking. When they came, they took him. He was still breathing, but barely. I told them everything. They found her ID, her clothes, her blood in every room. They believed me. I deleted Tinder that night. Haven't re-downloaded it. That day, I realized that everything can always be worse than what you imagine. Some people fake their profiles. Others become them.
I never trusted him completely. Something always felt off, but I ignored it. We were moving in together next week. Boxes were already packed, lease signed. He cooked for me, cleaned up after me, said all the right things. He was the kind of guy people dream about. Or that's what I thought. He had these moments where he'd disappear. Not long, just a few hours, sometimes overnight. He always had excuses. Work called. His mom needed something. The car broke down. I wanted to believe him. I told myself I was paranoid, but it kept happening, and each time he came back looking more satisfied, like whatever he did out there gave him peace. Still, that itch wouldn't leave me. Something didn't sit right. He never let me touch his phone, said it was about privacy. I didn't push it at first. Later I did. He got defensive, said I didn't trust him, said he deserved better. That was the only time he raised his voice to me. And that silence afterward, it lasted all night. I started keeping track. When he left, when he came back. How long he was gone. What he wore when he left, and what he wore when he returned. Sometimes his clothes were different. Sometimes he showered immediately. And he always seemed happier afterward. Relaxed. As if he'd done something to take the weight off. But that weight felt like it had been passed on to me. Last Tuesday, he took a shower and left his phone unlocked on the table. I opened it. I wasn't sure what I expected. Maybe a message, a name I didn't recognize. But I didn't expect Tinder. He had the app active. There were dozens of chats, all recent, all with women in the area. A few of them even sent him selfies. Some were planning to meet. Some had already met. Each conversation had a different tone, different identity. He was playing roles, not just cheating, but performing. Practiced, efficient. I kept scrolling until my hand started to shake. It wasn't a one-time thing. He had dates scheduled with women almost every week. Same patterns, same lies. I clicked through the gallery. Photos. Some looked like they were taken secretly. Others looked posed like the women trusted him. There were videos, too, but I couldn't watch them. I was already shaking, already furious. I waited until he came out of the shower, and I threw the phone at him. He froze, eyes wide, like a kid caught stealing. He opened his mouth, but nothing came out at first. Then he just dropped his towel and sat down as if he had been expecting this moment for a long time. He didn't even try to deny it. He looked ashamed. He said he messed up, that he didn't want to hurt me, that he loved me. It sounded fake. Rehearsed, like he'd said it before. Maybe he had. But then he said something that made my stomach twist. I did it for you. I glared at him. My voice cracked when I shouted, "What the hell are you talking about?" His eyes lit up like he thought I'd finally caught on to something brilliant. "You don't understand yet. I can show you. It'll make sense. You'll see I did everything for us." He reached for my hand like he wanted to comfort me. I pulled away, furious, my body tensed, my fists clenched. "I'm not going anywhere with you." But he turned away without a word, walked toward the hallway, and opened the basement door. I didn't move at first. The doorway felt like a trap. The silence around it was louder than anything I'd ever heard. No cars, no birds, just that humming from the basement light. A hum that sounded like it came from inside my skull. I walked toward the stairs, every step an act of betrayal against my instincts. I had to know. He waited at the bottom, smiling like he had just finished decorating a surprise party. He motioned for me to come closer. I stayed near the stairs, holding the railing so tight it hurt. Then he stepped aside, revealing what was behind him. The tarp peeled back like wet skin. My knees buckled. I dropped. Bodies, stacked like garbage, at least 6 or 7 women. One still had a bracelet on. Another had her shirt rolled up to her neck like she was dragged. Their eyes, some open, some missing, seemed to stare at me. One looked like she was still alive until I saw her bloated skin. I tried to scream but choked. My body convulsed. I collapsed to my side and threw up. The smell was so thick it stuck in my throat. Rot, sweat, metal, and bleach. My vision blurred and I thought I might pass out. He crouched beside me like a dog waiting for affection. It got worse. The urges. I didn't want you to know. I didn't want you to see who I really was. But I figured it out. I found a way to control it. His voice was trembling like he was scared I wouldn't be proud. I used Tinder to find them. The ones no one would miss. I picked them carefully. I made sure you didn't have to see what I was becoming. I did all this for you. He took out a notebook. Names, dates, scribbles. Some had check marks. One page had my picture taped in. Below it, final step, the reward. I backed away from him, crawling like a wounded animal. My legs didn't respond. My body felt disconnected from my brain. He tilted his head like a confused child. Why are you looking at me like that? You said you wanted us to last. I made sure we could. Something in me snapped. I couldn't cry, couldn't scream. I had to move. He touched my arm again, gently. Don't worry, you're safe with me. I jerked away and bolted up the stairs. He followed, shouting, Wait! Wait! Please, you don't understand yet! His hand closed around my ankle. I kicked until I felt his grip loosen. I reached the top and slammed the basement door shut. He slammed into it from the other side. I ran. I got to the living room before he tackled me. We hit the floor. I felt his breath on my neck as he cried, I don't want this! I tried to fix it! I lied through my teeth. I forgive you. I do. Just let me breathe. He paused. His arms loosened. His eyes widened like a child given a gift. I shoved him with everything I had. He stumbled but grabbed the wall to steady himself. His expression cracked. He wasn't smiling anymore. I ran, slipped into the hallway, slammed into the cabinet. I got up, crawled into the guest room, and locked the door. The sound of his footsteps grew louder. Then came the first slam. Then the second. Please open the door. I love you. Then the screams started. Animal sounds. He wasn't crying anymore. He was raging. I grabbed the lamp. It was all I had. I stood behind the door and waited. The third kick shattered the lock. He burst in like something wild. Hair messy, eyes bloodshot, mouth open in a scream. He lunged at me. I did everything for you, and you're throwing it away! I hit him with the lamp. It cracked, but didn't stop him. He grabbed my hair and slammed me into the wall. I elbowed him, scratched him, bit him. He roared. Then he picked me up and threw me through the window. The glass exploded. The wind knocked the breath out of me. I hit the ground hard. My leg twisted under me. Blood smeared across my shirt. I crawled. My arm barely worked. Every inch was agony. I heard the front door fly open, his footsteps, his breath. I'm sorry. I can fix this. We can start over. I reached the driveway, found a rock. When he got close, I swung with everything I had. It cracked under his jaw. He dropped, not unconscious, just stunned. I didn't wait. I dragged myself to the car, opened the door, started it. I drove, crying, screaming, bleeding, but I didn't stop. I made it to the police station. I could barely walk. They looked at me like I was insane. I told them everything. They followed me back. The house was empty. The basement had been cleaned. Bleach, tarps gone, bodies gone. But there were blood traces. A few hairs. A notebook. He was gone. Just vanished. 8 months later, I still get messages. New accounts, no photos, just messages. I'm getting better. I'm clean now. You'd be proud. I block them, but they keep coming. I just want this to stop.
Hello, my name is Richard, and I've been in a relationship for about 5 years. I met my girlfriend on Tinder, and since then, everything has been wonderful. You know, it's a miracle that I'm with my girlfriend since I have a dark history with Tinder. Let's just say that on Tinder, there are very good people and very bad people. And among a tiny percentage, hidden among the meanest people, there is Angela, the most cruel and evil person I have ever met. In the beginning, Angela didn't really seem like a bad person. I found her on Tinder and she stood out among all the girls. At first, I thought there was no way she was going to like me back. She was too cute for me, and I knew it. But it didn't hurt to try. As soon as I gave her a like, I left my cell phone and went to get something to eat. But as soon as I was leaving, my cell phone rang. It was a notification from Tinder, and to my absolute surprise, I had made a match with Angela. After that, everything went pretty smoothly. We started talking, and to my amazement, Angela was charming. She had a magnetic personality that immediately grabbed me. We shared similar tastes. We had the same sense of humor, and our conversations were fluid and engaging. Days passed, then weeks, and our virtual connection grew stronger. Everything was going great until we decided to meet. One cold autumn night, Angela suggested we meet in a secluded spot. Although it seemed strange, I didn't question it. Maybe she liked quiet places. Not all girls were restaurant people or crowd pleasers. We met in a small dark park where the shadows stretched out like long fingers of darkness. When I arrived, Angela was already there. A charming smile on her face. To my surprise, she set something down beside her.
Hey, what did you bring a Polaroid for?
To capture moments. Sit down, you'll understand. We sat on a bench and for a while, everything was normal. Angela asked me a bit about my life and I asked her a bit about hers. Nothing separated this date from a normal one, but gradually, the atmosphere changed. Hey, have you ever killed any animals?
What? Excuse me?
I was joking. Calm down. I thought you had a sense of humor. Even though she told me it was a joke, something in her eyes had changed. Before she had a calm, attentive, and careful look, now it was very different. Her eyes were wide open. Her gaze was fixed on me. Her head was shaking, and I could see her biting the skin on her lips in anticipation. The date started to get a lot more awkward. I was trying to bring up normal topics. Movies, work, college, whatever would make this talk normal again. But something had changed in her. It was as if she had lost complete interest in whatever I was saying. By this point in the evening, I was very uncomfortable and could only think of one excuse to leave.
Hey, I've had a great time, but I think I should go. My mother is sick and I have to take care of her. I could get away for a while, but I feel like I've left her alone for too long.
Oh, of course. I understand. Are you very close to your mother?
Of course. I never knew my father, and my mother took care of me and my siblings by herself when we were kids.
She is very brave. You know, I'm very close to my mom, too. Do you want to see a picture of her before you go?
Of course.
Angela reached for a picture on her cell phone. Suddenly, she was acting more normal. Maybe I was being a little over the top with her. As she reached for the picture on her cell phone, I couldn't help but notice how cute she was. It was as if she had a glow of her own, a unique joy that made her unlike anyone I had ever met before. Here, I found a picture of her. Look at it.
I grabbed the cell phone eagerly, and when I looked at the screen, I was confused at first. At first, I was confused, but when I understood what I was seeing, I froze. In the picture, there was a woman who looked very similar to Angela, but she was dead, dismembered, cut into pieces. Angela was in the picture too. Blood was all over her body, especially on her face, which had a huge smile and eyes similar to the ones she had a few minutes ago. A flash brought me back to reality. She was with the Polaroid in her hand, taking a picture of me.
See, you always have to be ready to capture the best moments. You should see your reaction.
Angela,
tell me this is a joke. Tell me this is a joke in bad taste. Please tell me this is not real. It's all a joke.
You have nothing to worry about. As I was saying that, something shone against my face. That's when I realized that Angela had a huge knife in her hands. Before she could use it, I got up from my chair and started to run. I watched as Angela reacted to try to grab me before I left, but she didn't do it fast enough. I ran as fast as I could. I had to get away from that place. I had to get to a police station to report what I saw. It might just be a person with a knife who I had already left behind, but I felt that the danger was more latent than ever. As I ran, I heard an engine behind me and saw a speeding car. It was Angela. I tried to get off the road as quickly as possible, but it was too late. Before I could jump out, she hit me with the car on the side of my body, and I fell down injured. Angela braked her car a few meters later and headed towards me. The park had already ended, and I was in an area with huge grassland and several trees. Luckily for me, I was able to crawl in the dark and hide behind a tree. Angela was looking for me, walking slowly, examining the whole area. She didn't know where I was, but I felt that every step I took, she was getting a little closer. For a moment, I came to believe that she really did see me, only that she was making me suffer as long as possible. She was already a few steps away from me. She was going to kill me, and she was just going to make one more anecdote of Angela. One more picture for her collection. I wanted to defend myself, but my body hurt too much. I couldn't even stand up. Suddenly, as Angela was about to find me, a group of friends walked by.
Hey, are you okay?
Of course. I just lost a ring. You can go. Thank you very much.
Don't worry. We'll help you look for it.
No! I've already found it. Thank you very much anyway.
And that's when it was all over. Angela simply went back to her car and sped off, to the confused looks of the other guys, knowing she was clearly lying, but not interested enough to investigate what Angela was really looking for. I took advantage of that moment to crawl away from that area, and when I had reached a point where Angela would not find me, I called one of my brothers who picked me up. Once my brother dropped me off at the hospital, I called the police, but they couldn't find Angela. She had no social networks, her Tinder profile had disappeared, and she had made sure that no clues led back to her. I even doubt that her real name is Angela. As I told you before, I gave Tinder a try again, and that time, it worked out well. I met my current partner in a public place, and I had already seen all her social networks before we met. I never heard from Angela again, and to tell you the truth, I'm thankful I didn't. Who knows what Angela might have done, who she might have met on Tinder, and what fate would have befallen those poor people who perhaps, unlike me, could not escape.